to the Think Radio Network. It's 9 p.m. Eastern United States time, 2 hours Universal time. Up next, World Microscope with Michael Ketter. We hope you'll stay tuned. Good evening, and welcome to World Microscope. I'm your host, Michael Ketter. Tonight, we're on part two of our discussion about security. It is Wednesday, December the 1st, 2004. First, a look at today's international headlines. From Kiev, Ukraine. The man declared the winner of Ukraine's disputed presidential election, Prime Minister Viktor F. Yanukovych, yesterday said he was prepared to accept a new vote and offered not to run again as long as his challenger also stepped aside. Viktor A. Yushchenko, the opposition leader, who claims to have won the November 21st election, immediately dismissed the proposal, along with Yankovic's offer to appoint him as prime minister and consider amendments to the constitution that would share power between the country's starkly divided blocs. The election was falsified, Yushchenko said in televised remarks. As long as this problem is not solved, all the other problems are secondary. From Ottawa, Canada. On his first official visit to Canada, President Bush yesterday faced a frosty public that is roundly critical of many of his policies, most notably the war in Iraq. And his meeting with Prime Minister Paul Martin yielded little progress on nettlesome trade issues that may have hurt the Canadian economy. The smiles between Bush and Martin were ready, but so too were their obvious disagreements about the United States' ban on Canadian beef after a scare over mad cow disease and a prolonged dispute over lumber trade. Bush said Martin expressed a great deal of frustration about the United States' ban on live cattle imports from Canada, and he conceded that talks did not resolve the dispute. In French, Martin characterized the talks as contentious and also expressed frustration. He did not mention Iraq. From Baghdad, Iraq. The top United States diplomat in Iraq yesterday said security conditions in the country would improve enough in coming months to allow national elections to proceed in January as scheduled. And he suggested that the country's Sunni Muslim minority would likely abandon plans to boycott the election once it became clear that the voting would not be postponed. Speaking to foreign reporters over lunch at the United States Embassy inside the walled compound known as the Green Zone, United States Ambassador John D. Negroponte gave the clearest indication yet that the Bush administration would not allow a delay in the January 30th elections. But the ambassador's assurances came at the end of a month in which the Pentagon reported at least 135 United States troops killed in November as of yesterday morning, matching April of this year for the deadliest month since fighting began in March 2003. That underscored how much work lies ahead in pacifying the country before the voting takes place. From the United Nations. The United Nations yesterday proposed the most sweeping reforms in its history, recommending the overhaul of its key decision-making organ, the Security Council, and holding out the possibility of granting legitimacy to some preventive military strikes. The wide-reaching reforms were outlined in a much-anticipated report commissioned by United Nations Secretary General Kofi Annan a year ago after bruising division over the Iraq War left the United Nations feeling ill-equipped to meet modern-day challenges represented by terrorism, failed states, nuclear proliferation, poverty, and violence. In its most attention-getting recommendation, the panel called for an expansion of the Security Council to 24 members. The Council now has 5 veto-bearing permanent members: Britain, China, France, Russia, and the United States, and 10 members elected to 2-year terms. One alternative would add 6 permanent members. The likely candidates are Brazil, Germany, India, Japan, Egypt, and either Nigeria or South Africa. from Tehran, Iran. Iran yesterday claimed victory in its nuclear dispute, saying it has isolated the United States while preserving its right to enrich uranium. Iran said it has not abandoned its right to enrich uranium, in spite of United States pressure, noting the agreement it struck this week with the United Nations Nuclear Energy Agency will only suspend processing for several months. Such enrichment can produce either low-grade fuel for nuclear reactors or the raw material for atomic weapons, which the United States charges that Iran is trying to develop. From Jerusalem, interim Palestinian leader Mahmoud Abbas ordered a halt to anti-Israel incitement in government-controlled media, meeting a key Israeli demand and adding to the new signs of goodwill that have emerged since the death of Yasser Arafat. Israel has long complained of incitement in the Palestinian media, citing fiery anti-Israeli broadcasts by Muslim preachers and programs praising the killing of Jews. It blamed Arafat, who died November 11th, for the objectionable content. Israeli officials welcomed the development, but said they were waiting to see actual changes in the Palestinian media. From Lima, Peru, he may be a fugitive with nearly two dozen criminal charges facing him, but former President Alberto Fujimori is still Peru's most popular politician, according to a survey released yesterday. Fujimori would lead a field of 11 potential candidates if the 2006 election were held today, the private firm CPI said its survey found. The disgraced leader won the backing of 18.3%. From Islamabad, Pakistan, President General Pervez Musharraf will keep his dual role as Army Chief and Head of State under legislation enacted yesterday, despite opposition criticism that he is reneging on an agreement to give up his powerful military role. Musharraf has argued that most people want him to keep his uniform to maintain stability as he fights terrorism. He also says Pakistan needs the military's firm guiding hand to build a democratic state. From Madrid, Spain, an estimated 100 million locusts yesterday swarmed one of the Canary Islands, but the crop-ravaging insects, mainly with only a week to live, posed little threat, arriving with missing wings and broken legs after their 60-mile flight from the African mainland. Millions of others in the swarm were being blown back out to sea before arriving on the Fuerteventura Island as the strong Atlantic Ocean winds changed direction. The reddish grasshopper-like insects began infesting two of the Spanish islands in the archipelago over the weekend. And from Bucharest, Romania, the leader of Romania's opposition party demanded yesterday that the results of the weekend presidential and parliamentary elections be annulled because of fraud and a new vote be held. Presidential candidate Traian Băsescu, who heads the centrist Justice and Truth Alliance, claimed election authorities gave an extra 160,000 ballots, or 2.5% of the votes cast, to his main rival, Prime Minister Adrian Natase of the ruling Social Democratic Party. With about 90% of votes counted yesterday, Natase won almost 41% and Băsescu almost 34%, leading to a runoff vote set for December 12th. For World Microscope, this is Michael Ketter reporting. We'll be back with your phone calls after this.
WBCQ, Monticello, Maine, the United States of America.
Cleaning, shopping, slicing, dicing, decorating, wrapping, mixing, roasting, baking, frosting, setting the table, grating, carving, serving, stuffing, clearing the table. After all that hustle and bustle, slow down with friends and family around the holiday table this year. Serve them warm, nutty Maxwell House hazelnut or bold Maxwell House French roast, both special enough to make wonderful moments with loved ones last. Try Maxwell House hazelnut and Maxwell House French roast with the exclusive fresh seal. Two great ways to make this holiday season good to the last drop.
Now at Radio Shack, unwrap a magical Dish TV deal just in time for the holidays. Sign up for Dish Network and America's top 120 programming package and receive a $50 cashback rebate by mail from Toon Disney. Plus, get a $25 Radio Shack gift card by mail. That's a $75 value only at Radio Shack. Valid with credit approval for new first-time residential Dish Network customers who subscribe to at least 2 months of qualifying programming by December 31st. Prices, packages, and programming subject to change without notice. Details in store.
There are angels in this world. Angels who help feed the hungry ones, save the lonely from despair, and help the lost find their way. They work quietly, and when they're done, they don't fly away. They walk. Thank you for giving to the Salvation Army. You're an angel.
Donate online at SalvationArmyUSA.org or call your local Salvation Army.
And we're back on the Think Radio Network. All across North and South America via the shortwave giant WBCQ, the planet, 7.415 megahertz and 5.105 megahertz. All across the United States of America on the Think Radio Network and on your computer at WBCQ.com. WorldMicroscope.com and RadioNewYorkInternational.com, as well as all kinds of other interesting things that I'm sure you're going to want to take a look at. The telephone number here in our studios is area code 412-371-5054. That's country code 1 if you're calling from outside the United States of America. Area code 412-371-5054. And if you'd like to email us this evening, that address, think@worldmicroscope.com. think@worldmicroscope.com. Also, for those of you interested in contacting via the post, and we have been receiving QSL requests, which we are oh so happy to fulfill, that mailing address is World Microscope on the Think Radio Network. Yes, you can put that. World Microscope, Think Radio Network, 230 Homestead Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15218 in the United States of America. Once again, that's World Microscope, care of the Think Radio Network, 230 Homestead Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15218 in the United States of America. And again, the phone number, yes, 412-371-5054. We're picking up tonight where we left off yesterday with trying to wrap our minds around the idea of security, because it is a word that is bantered about. In fact, it's one of the primary issues that came up in this last election. And I think it's only right that we understand what security is and what it is not. Yesterday, we discussed that there are basically the two forms of security, offensive and defensive. There are the three levels that we'll refer to, personal, national, and global. And then the three levels within that where effects and causes and outcomes and consequences all occur, acts of humanity, acts of industry, and acts of nature. You have to look at security as kind of like a function. Tonight, we will look at one of the major cogs in the wheel. No, it's not Cogswell cogs, although at times I wish it were. It's something a lot more tangible than that. That is the Intelligence Department of the United States of America. And that is actually something that kind of is almost an anachronism anymore. It's something that in itself seems almost antiquated or kind of
I listen to radio theater while I'm restoring it, old radio theater from the 1940s, 50s, 30s. And the intelligence department, unfortunately, has sort of a media reputation of being of that ilk, not really being modern. And consequently, it is under great scrutiny since over the last decade there had been numerous problems with intelligence, and consequently the attacks of 9/11/2001 proved out that even with a certain amount of pointers and all the good intentions, they still weren't able to pick up on certain key clues, and ultimately we were not secure. So let's think about, before we talk about any of the specifics of what's going on within the government, let's kind of look at the task. Because again, to understand where they are and what they have to do, we have to understand what it is they actually have as a goal. See, this is where it might actually get a little bit sinister. Again, let's look at it objectively. If your job is to gather the intelligence for the United States government so that you can keep the government safe and so that you can be well informed and make good decisions, well, you've got your basic security issues, the same ones we discussed, offensive, defensive, you know, national versus global versus the individual, that sort of thing. Well, beyond that, you have a whole different set of circumstances because there are objectives that need to be achieved within the government and within the administration. So when you think about global security from the administration's point of view, and you think of intelligence's role in global security, it's supposed to be a data-gathering device that can process information quickly and give you good answers. Now, consequently, that is a dream at this point. That is not what it is. As I had remarked before, it's actually an awful lot closer to the kind of Sam Spade the detective kind of, or T-Man kind of, you know, they've got fedora hats and they wear really well-cut suits, you know, GIs after the Second World War who became T-Men, treasury men, things like that. And really, in a much more tangible sense, we'll think of it this way. The people who are responsible for making a lot of the decisions about how the intelligence system works, they're getting older. Now, if you look at George Herbert Walker Bush, GW's father, you see, I have to inform some people out there might be saying, you mean Lincoln's vice president or something? No, I'm not insulting anybody out there. Of course not. I wouldn't do that. No, look at George Herbert Walker Bush and his involvement in the CIA. Now, that goes back to the 1960s. So you have one person there who got to see the Cold War turn into the Reagan War, you know, the modern world as vice president at that point, and then to transcend even beyond that into what we now call the computer age. So you've got one person there who, let's face it, George Herbert Walker Bush is getting up there. He is probably one of those people who was undoubtedly frustrated when kids anymore stopped doing math and actually started using calculators or things like that. Intelligence, gathering of information. Some things will never change, and some things accelerate at incredible rates. As I had said yesterday, if you look at 1990 to 2004, what you're going to see there are great leaps in computer processing power, great leaps in satellite power, great leaps basically in new tools for gathering intelligence. And that requires not only a new approach, but it requires a whole new group of people. The Men in Black style people. No, not perhaps not that, but more enemy of the state style people, disenfranchised people who are good at math and things like that. Now, again, where this show originates, in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, it is the home of Carnegie Mellon University, which has the Software Engineering Institute for the federal government. It's the Pentagon's one. It's where the bombs are built. It's where the math to the bombs are built. It's where a lot of Star Wars is done. It also is the home of Internet security for the entire United States. And there are an awful lot of disgruntled students walking around, basically now picking up fairly good wages, trying to bring the intelligence system up to date. Now, again, if you think about how intelligence was gathered originally, let's go back to the First World War, or pre-First World War era. It was basically what you would call reconnaissance and spying. It was very straightforward at that point, and there were what were to become more and more elaborate tools. You eventually get to the Wild Wild West era with that sort of gadgetry and trains, and it was very, very modern for its time. Now, as we walked into the Second World War, at that point, there was a major leap in technology, and there were encryption engines that had to be dealt with. There was upper-level math that had to be dealt with, and there were some things that were almost impossible to surmount. Oftentimes, what gave us an advantage was a twist of fate more than a plan. And that's something that you have to account for, actually, when you're working out strategies of security. Now, as the Second World War developed into the Cold War, spying became more and more refined. And so there were these techniques developed that really did serve international intelligence gathering for quite a long while. But that changed so much in the 1990s. Now what we have is a very odd hybrid. We have something that is actually, the information gathering has become incredibly important. The data itself has become incredibly important. But the means of transfer, how it actually becomes useful data, all that is now coming into question. Very, very old techniques coming back, whole lot of faces changing. Now, at the Department of Homeland Security, it looks like the FEMA director currently will become our new Department of Homeland Security Director, the replacement for Tom Ridge. Now, we'll find out more about what's going on and think a little bit more about the structure of security within intelligence right after this break. You're listening to World Microscope with me, Michael Ketter, on the Think Radio Network. Stay tuned.
With revenue from video games putting Hollywood to shame, the competition is fierce. And according to a recent lawsuit, one of the big video game companies is working employees to unbearable levels. Electronic Arts, the company responsible for games like Madden 2005 and The Sims 2, has employees claiming abusive working practices. Mandatory working hours during crunch time are 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. 7 days a week, with no comp time or overtime. Often during non-crunch times, employees are expected to work Saturdays too. Lawyers are contacting Electronic Arts employees to take part in the class action lawsuit. While the 40-hour work week is a mythic relic of the past for many industries, the extreme hours required by some companies could see a surge in unionizing as employees attempt to be compensated for working 80-hour weeks. I'm LAZLOW.com. Send me an email. That's what's on my underground hard drive.
Mom, Dad, someone's going to try and get me to take drugs.
Want to do something about it?
You're going to have to make me tell you where I am and who I'm with every day. Don't like the sound of that?
Tough. You got to be the grown-up.
Kids with involved parents are less likely to try drugs. So ask them who, what, where, when. Questions. They're the anti-drug. Call 1-800-788-2800 for more information. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Critical thought and analysis for the 21st century. You are listening to World Microscope on the Think Radio Network. The top telephone number here in our studios in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Country code 1, area code 412-371-5054. Once again, that's 412-371-5054. The email address for this program, think@worldmicroscope.com. T-H-I-N-K at worldmicroscope.com. Be sure to visit www.worldmicroscope.com for more information, archives of the program, a daily blog, as well as interactive things that will challenge your mind in many, many ways. Also, if you would like to receive us on your computer, there are three very good places that I can think of. First one being www.wbcq.com. The second one, that would be www.worldmicroscope.com. And the third one being www.radionewyorkinternational.com. Very special thanks to L.F. Midwood and Larry Will for their support and help with the transmission of this program. And also, we are heard all across the United States of America along the Think Radio Network and up and down North and South America and parts of Europe and the Netherlands on the shortwave giant WBCQ, Monticello, Maine, the United States of America, the planet. Getting back to where we left off, intelligence gathering. Essentially, we have domestic intelligence and we have global intelligence. And we have a system of which these informational sources are relayed back, and that consequently they're supposed to be processed in an efficient manner, and then they're presented in a tangible way to the president so that he can act on it, along with his advisors. Now that's, you know, obviously an oversimplification, but it is a good starting point for the goal at hand. Now, the problem that we faced with 9/11 is that many of these agencies had information that, when all told, would be very, very valuable. It would put together a very clear picture of specific acts that were going to take place. However, because there was not cooperation between the government agencies, there was vast miscommunication and withholding of information. Now, again, when it comes to the purpose of intelligence and why the government would have an intelligence department to begin with, you see, this is an important part of troubleshooting. I'll take a moment here as an aside just to say, have you ever really thought about troubleshooting? I mean, many of you people have jobs where you cannot help but have to troubleshoot. A good example is that as an audio engineer, you will know that there are many points that the circuit must travel through. There are wires that connect different devices. There are different places that it goes. There are different things it interconnects with. And when something goes wrong, there is a way that you approach it. There are many ways, often, to try to lick a particular technical or logistic problem. But there is a system to doing it. Now, that's what we're talking about tonight here. The president, GW, needs to make decisions about the security of the United States on behalf of us, on a national level. Now, since Canada is our biggest trading partner, and since they are also a 4,000-mile border with us, it's important for them as well. Now, we all want George Bush to have good information. The Mexicans want it, we want it, the Europeans want it. No one would feel bad about getting good information. So that's a good assumption to start with. Now, from that point, you have people who advise the president directly. Now, we all know who stuck their neck out before and who will undoubtedly, well, not again, a new token will take the place of the old token. Colin Powell is out, Condi Rice is in. But the song remains the same. Colin Powell really put his neck on the line on the idea that Iraq could hurt us, that specifically that we were within 45 minutes at any given time of a nuclear strike with missiles on the United States of America. Now, that's quite a bill of goods in the long run when it is examined closely. No one will debate. Well, that is quite a bill of goods. That's kind of like saying the kid with the cap gun's going to take over the world. Unlikely, but possible. And unfortunately, again, when intelligence is filtered through many, many different stages, as it is in the river that flows to the president, there are many, many places the water goes. Well, oftentimes, as is with man and with industry, we route the water to the places we want it to go. We want to fertilize some areas. We want to make sure certain ideas are propagated within the system. So intelligence can take a spin or a bend. Certainly, if you listen to talk radio, you know the notion of what it is to have spin. Well, in this case, there's also the prime directive. You have the president himself saying, I want to do a specific thing. I want to be able to keep the country safe. I want to liberate Iraq. I want to topple Saddam Hussein. I want to find Osama bin Laden, perhaps never. All these things came from a directive from the president. So from the top down, diagnostically speaking, you have a mandate. We need to find the means to create our war machine and to do it successfully. Upon closer examination, to a shrewd thinker, it looks very much like a failed ploy, an advertising ploy almost. Iraq was an easy target, certainly far easier than the other choices. Iraq was also a fairly intangible target because, unlike, let's say, unlike Korea, they're testing weapons. We know they have weapons. Elvis Presley over there, Kim Jong-il, is very likely to do something aggressive. He's kind of crazy. He's got a loaded gun. He certainly is a threat. So we stayed away from that because, well, no, that's a tough fight. We need to make a good impression here. We're building a legacy to help democracy. Now, again, I personally am giving the president an awful lot of slack on this because it makes no sense that I would feel this way myself. Now, let's see what we have here. Good evening. You are on World Microscope.
Hi, Michael. It's Joe from Ohio.
Hey, Joe. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. I had a question. You were talking about the intelligence overhaul that's going on in the United States briefly there.
You're right.
And I had a question for the listeners. Maybe somebody could clue me in on this. It's been bothering me. Porter Goss has been named the new head of the CIA. And you're talking about the old school intelligence, the new school intelligence. And I'm wondering how he fits into the scheme of this. It's been reported that he had meetings with the head of Pakistani ISI on the morning of September 11th, with one of the people who was actually the man who gave the go-ahead to Muhammad Atta to send money to Muhammad Atta. So what I'm wondering is, as the head of the CIA, the new head of the CIA with this reformed intelligence bill, is he so incompetent that he didn't realize that he was in with the people who were responsible for 9/11, or was there some other reason why he was in that meeting?
Again, you bring up the basic concept of, is it purposeful ignorance or ignorant purposefulness?
Yes.
And that is a very, very good question. Now, in the case of Porter Goss, I would have to say that a good bit of his task now is he's strictly hired as an axe man. He's Freddy Krueger, and he's sent in there to just slash and burn.
Mm.
Now, as far as the information that he had before, I would say, like in so many cases, I think people hedge their bets and they hide their cards, that even in the most secure circumstances, we're not so sure of we and thee, especially of thee, that sort of thing, where even in the intelligence communities, right up to this day, there is no trust, there is no cooperation.
Certainly agree.
And now, tell me something. Where do you usually get your news from? What are your news sources?
Well, I get my news from any number of different sources, between broadcast media on both television and radio, from the internet, newspapers. I try to keep myself abreast of information from as many sources as possible.
Now, how would you profile yourself as an American?
Well, I'm a patriotic American.
Patriotic American.
Yes, I love this country, and I am deeply concerned about its future.
Now, are you, well, this is a rather personal question. Are you a Democrat or a Republican?
I'm an independent, Michael.
An independent. Okay, that's good. See, I'm keeping score here. We're going to see in the long run who wins and who loses. Now, as far as offensive and defensive security goes with intelligence, how do you feel the future of the intelligence would be best served in the United States?
Well, I know there is a lot of argumentation in regard to whether or not we need to suppress the freedoms of the people of this country. I certainly hope that that doesn't have to happen. I don't believe it ever should happen. If you are an American and you believe in the freedoms given to us by the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights, there are certain things that we cannot tread upon. What bothers me about the 9/11 problem is that this discussion of information not being shared, there was so much information available. There were other parties to blame for this. I do not, in my wildest imagination, understand why the airlines themselves did not have things prepared in order to deal with situations like this. I do not know why the Air Force was not able to deal with this when there were four planes up in the air simultaneously. It seems to me that there is a certain amount of reaction. I can't give you, as a civilian, what the actual threat level is, but we have to know that in a world of billions of people, you're talking about a very, very small group, probably in the tens of thousands, although it's growing. How do you respond to that? How do you protect every single person? It also bothers me that people are so frightened by this when our parents and my grandparents went to war in World War II, survived the Bataan Death March, and they were not cowards in regard to what was going on. I feel like there's a certain amount of we've lost the ability to take care of this ourselves.
That's an excellent call, Joe, and we're going to take a break here on the Think Radio Network.
WBCQ, Monticello, Maine, the United States of America.
This 2001 SUV with a Carfax vehicle history report that says if we miss a major problem reported by the state, we buy back the car?
Yes.
Ma'am, it's rare, but we missed one. Here's the check for the SUV.
Great. So what are you going to do with the car?
It won't trouble you again, ma'am.
Don't buy a used car without a Carfax history report. Now with the buyback guarantee. For details, ask your dealer or go to CARFAX.com.
You know, I have this boss.
We try to stick to cars, ma'am.
Hi.
Hi.
I need a turkey.
Sure. How about this one?
Can I get it with $3,000 cash back?
No.
How about 0% financing?
Also no. You can have it with giblets.
Remember, great deals on 2004 models and more can only be found at Kia's year-end event. Like $3,000 cash back on Sedona, $2,000 cash back on Sorento, and 0% financing on Amante. So hurry. Kia's year-end event ends January 3rd. Only at Kia. Cash back from Kia Motors America varies by model. Short-term financing available to well-qualified buyers through qualified lender. Must take delivery from retail stock by 1305. See retailer for incentive details or go to Kia.com.
Feed someone who is hungry, and you will feel full. Give a child a reason to dream. You will feel at peace. Help a teen reclaim his youth, and you will feel years younger. When you help the Salvation Army, everybody feels better. Donate online at SalvationArmyUSA.org. Need knows no season.
And we're back with World Microscope on the Think Radio Network. And that PSA always reminds me, charity is a good thing, my friends, and this is the season to be charitable. And do it in a real way. We're not talking about just giving money randomly. You know that there are people who could really use your help. Look after the people in your family. Look after the people in your neighborhood. Look after the people who you care about, because someday you may really need someone to care about you. It's part of human nature, and it will make you feel very good. Now, Joe, our last caller from Ohio, brought up a number of very, very important points, and it goes deeply into the division between our personal security and the nation's security versus global security. Now, what I'm really talking about is the offensive nature of an awful lot of the plans as to what are going down currently in the intelligence department of the United States of America involve gathering really large amounts of data. And consequently, now, since they can store these large amounts of data, compress it and put it in places where it's handy for them so that they can spot trends, so that they can profile people. Now, anyone who's worked in upper-level math and statistics knows that profiling only works to a certain extent, and there is nothing more unpredictable or, let's say, hard to really figure out than a human being. And as many people have noticed, it's hard to make things idiot-proof because idiots can be so ingenious. Now, that being the case, the gathering of data and the profiling of people can be a very, very harmful thing. You should be aware that in an effort to protect us, our government now is really watching the Internet very, very closely, and they're seeing where you go and what you do. Now, on top of that, your Internet service provider is obligated to keep records of your email and of your server transactions for at least a week, so that if something were to come up, that it would be easy enough for them to retrace your steps. Now, something as simple as the Advantage card at Giant Eagle, it's a supermarket chain here in western Pennsylvania, you have a card that identifies you, that gives you a better deal, quote-unquote, on certain things. Personally, I have never gotten one. I dislike those sorts of things. I personally feel it is really wrong that there could be two prices for the same item in a store. And technically, that is illegal, so they're always forced to do something about it if you push the issue. But the point is, in this case, the store really does not need your demographic data in order to be an efficient store. In the 21st century, a Giant Eagle supermarket needs only inventory control. The little tags on the groceries, you know, the things, the little barcodes, what soon will be RFIDs on all these things, it simply needs to know what is being bought and what is being sold. It also helps them track down thievery and things of that nature. But that's a whole different direction. And again, we can't exclude that from our view on security. But the bottom line is this. They have those cards so that they can gather data about your purchasing habits. They certainly are not doing it for quote-unquote sinister reasons. It's really to gather demographics so that you can be pitched individually at your home or via different means, even right down to the coupons that they'll issue to you at the point of purchase. That's all swayed or influenced by the things that you buy. Now, why this would be important to the government, let's say here's a good example. You're someone who has a buying habit of getting things like a bachelor might get, and you all of a sudden are buying diapers. Well, that to them, that's a red flag. You shouldn't be buying diapers, not if you're still buying other bachelor stuff. Or tampons, or things like that. If they're looking for a specific person and they're trying to find out information about the neighbors or to see who might be staying with someone, that's a modern form of information gathering. Now, another thing to remember about this is that all the intersections that are major intersections in major cities have cameras on them now. All the highways have cameras. All the big electric signs and the Amber Alert system have cameras within them. that many people have webcams that are, well, many people don't keep good computer security, and consequently their machine is being run by pixies in Taiwan somewhere. Now, again, security on a national level is going through some major, major changes. Most of those changes have to do with changes in our civil liberties. And these are the things that we should perk our ears up about. Now, as with yesterday's show and with today's, exactly what I hoped would happen, and that is a caller calls in who is thinking, who will make the point for me. Someone who will bring something to light that is something we all should be thinking about, because you start to put these pieces of the puzzle together, you may realize it's not a pretty picture, but that with a certain amount of input, especially from Americans, people who have the freedom to really input, that you can make a positive difference. Now, once again, in these last few minutes, going up to the top of the hour, if you would like to contact me here, country code 1, area code 412-371-5054. That's 412-371-5054. The email address for this program, think@worldmicroscope.com. T-H-I-N-K @worldmicroscope.com. So, as far as the future of the Bush administration, and as far as that extends into world policy, other things to factor into security motivations in the revamping of the security department. George Bush has many, many times, G.W. Bush has many times said that he has certain specific religious beliefs that are fundamentalist Christian beliefs, that he believes in the rapture and in the apocalypse, that at some point, you know, we will float away or not, that our clothes will all sit here and our, you know, butt implants and fillings will all fall out and there'll be cars crashing on Earth, and that, you know, the rapture will occur. And that he knows that from biblical prophecy that that involves the Middle East very heavily, and that he would really like to see a lot of certain events come to pass. Now, consequently, being a nation under God and being led by someone with a specific fundamental belief, those are two different things. Many people banter around the terms one nation under God, of which tonight, let's face it, we are one nation under surveillance, and that trend is growing. And that as far as our world policy goes, it's guided in ways that aren't necessarily economically good or sound for the people involved. Now, I will give you a good example here. The Iraqi people are going to have a hard time understanding our liberation of them for many reasons. The first of all being they were never one people to begin with. They were three groups of people. And that is a problem. They always fought. That under the dictator Saddam Hussein, they did keep a rough form of order. It was what it was. It was sort of a poorly run and corrupt machine that had some real down points and was kind of like Castro's Cuba in many respects, kind of just meandering along there, kind of a balloon losing air, that technically on its own it would have just petered out. And given that there was no real threat, and the search for weapons of mass destruction was shifted, when it became obvious that there were no weapons of mass destruction and that our intelligence was all wrong, consequently we had to change our goals. So it was the liberation of the Iraqi people to create a democracy. Now, that right there will seem strange to them because they've had chaos under us. And God help the soldiers. They're trapped in the middle. They don't understand effectively the background of these people or how to communicate with them on a large level. And they are mistrusted as they mistrust everyone around them. I mean, until you walk a mile in a soldier's shoes, you can't make any judgments about the world they live in, because it is different. We live sheltered lives here in the United States. Now, as I did yesterday, and I will bring this up again every day on the show this week, I want you as an assignment, as a real assignment, as something that you can do to increase your awareness on a level that you might not really be comfortable with but this is an important thing. Go to www.washingtonpost.com. And when you get there, click on Faces of the Fallen. And you will see the 1,300-plus soldiers that have died in Iraq. Now, I feel very strongly the Iraq war was completely pointless. It was a distraction to the real war on terror. When we're talking about security, we seem to think in these very 1950s terms, these very quaint terms, and the people that are leaving as the head of our security in this country are the ones who have a lot of experience over many, many years. They certainly understand things, but they couldn't keep up. And now in this modern world, what we have to come to terms with is that there is no such thing as privacy. There is no such thing as security. All the rules are changing, and that it may come down to hide in plain sight. It may simply come down to we will end up having to fight for our basic rights of personal freedom. Now, fascism is a funny thing. There was a lot of motivation in Germany in the early 1930s to back the fascists, largely because the country had been dashed to bits, it had no money, inflation was out of control, and there was someone who was rebuilding the roads, he was rebuilding the schools, he was putting money back into things, and then he went completely nuts. Now, thankfully, I don't think we have to worry about that with G.W. Bush, because what he did first was spend all the money. And again, spending the surplus is not a wise thing. Come back tomorrow. We'll talk about it more. You're listening to World Microscope on the Think Radio Network. Good night.